Of adoration. Holy God, creator of all, sustainer of all, saviour of all, your glory and majesty are beyond our understanding, your power too awesome to behold, and yet your love enfolds us as a gentle breeze. Saviour of all, sustainer of all, creator of all, you are the God who formed us, the God who knows us and leads us, the God who loves us and blesses us, the beginning and end of all that we are and hope to be, for the blessings of each and every day, we praise your holy name. Holy Spirit, we see your power in lives transformed, hearts on fire. We listen for your still, small voice, comforting, guiding, calling. Holy Spirit, we praise you. Jesus, for the joy of your presence, changing and renewing us day by day, we offer you our praise. For the blessings you bring us, the outpouring of your love day by day, we offer you our praise. For peace beyond understanding, day by day, we offer you our praise, now and evermore. Amen.
Written back in 2012 by Elizabeth and Ruth. And the tune will be very familiar, so please do join us as we sing Let Us Come Together.
Thank you. Let us pray. You are, O God, a place of refuge. You enable us to face our problems. You keep us from being destroyed by them. Even within the darkness surrounding us, in the midst of life's turmoil, we can hear the voice of God. When we refuse to confess our sin, our bodies waste away and we groan all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline is heavy on us. Our strength evaporates like water in the summer heat. Every time we attempt to handle our own guilt by ignoring it, rationalizing it, or just running away from it, some unseen power or pressure from the depth of our beings squeezes our life dry, leaving us empty. We should always pray whenever we find out that we have sinned. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to the Lord whilst he may be found. So we confess our sins and tell them all to you. We say, we will confess our transgressions to the Lord. As we keep this moment of silence, we say in our hearts, I'll tell the Lord each one of my sins. When we face up to our failures and confess them, when we open our guilt-ridden hearts to you, O God, then we realize the blessed meaning of forgiveness. You forgave us. All our guilt is gone. O God, you bless everyone whose sins you forgive and wipe away. You bless them by saying, you told me your sins without trying to hide them, and now I forgive you. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Count yourselves lucky. How happy you must be to get a fresh start, your slates wiped clean. The faithful and the faithless both suffer the uncertainties and insecurities of this life. But the children of God can depend always on the love of their Father. God defiers are always in trouble. God affirmers find themselves loved every time they turn around. O God, you are our hiding place. You will protect us from trouble and surround us with songs of deliverance. The person who knows the meaning of forgiveness, who is no longer plagued by past failures, who stands blameless and guilt-free before God, that person is rich indeed. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. Celebrate God. Sing together, everyone. All you honest hearts, raise the roof, for the Lord puts songs in our hearts, because he has saved us. Amen.
And let us do just as Ian has prayed. Let us sing to our God, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Thank you. contemplation of prayer. What is prayer? It's making a connection, a stream of consciousness as you focus your thoughts on what really matters. What is prayer? It's a deep, still silence, a holy moment as you enter into the very presence of God. What is prayer? It's a conversation, a flow of words as you pour out your heart to your Heavenly Father. What is prayer? It's a lifting in love and raising before the Lord the concerns of a caring, compassionate heart, and knowing that He will hold them. What is prayer? It's a rearranging in God's in-tray, a reverent reshuffle, to bring to the top that which needs His urgent attention. What is prayer? It is looking into an image of a person, place, or situation, and actually seeing what's there through God's eyes. What is prayer? It's a small, symbolic act that signifies a handing over and a letting go, a leaving, but in safekeeping. What is prayer? It is listening carefully for that still, small voice as God whispers His will into your soul. What is prayer? It is a choice of realignment, allowing the Holy Spirit free rein until you breathe with the breath of God. What is prayer? It is laying your heart on the altar with sincerity and in submission and saying, not my, but thy will be done. What is prayer? It is a method of accessing the power of God so that the mechanism of the Holy Spirit will enable you to discern His direction for your life. What is prayer? It is the quest of a lifetime, fervently seeking God's will in all things, ceaselessly calling out with conviction, Thy kingdom come. Amen. We are now going to sing a song called Thy Kingdom Come. It may not be familiar to all of you. Some of you will have heard it before. If it's not familiar, just listen if you wish. Join in when you are able. And we hope that you will enjoy singing Made in Perfect Love.
Thank you. Right, you kind of probably guessed what the theme is this morning, but I had a video to show you that puts our theme in a context of the other major parts of being a Christian disciple. So have a look at the screen and watch this. Simple way of remembering what we do as Christian disciples. And probably over the years you've heard a lot about the out from me, but today is very much about the up. And we're going to hear the Bible reading. I haven't checked who's doing it. It's Helen. This is not one of the easiest of Jesus's parables, but we're going to have a good go at it this morning. So, yeah, thank you, Helen. Sorry.
This reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Helen. Let us pray. Lord, as Jesus encouraged his disciples in prayer, encourage us now as we reflect on his words. Help us where we find things difficult. Encourage us where we are excited. And lead us in closeness to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look for the shock. Pay attention to the shock. Many years ago, I was taught that that is a key to understanding the parables of Jesus, and I think you've heard me say that before. Look for the shock. Well, we certainly have a shock in that parable, don't we? Pay attention to what the unjust judge says. Really? The God figure is the unjust judge? Well, unjust judges were known in New Testament times. People used to make a pun on their title in Hebrew and call them robber judges. Some of them were very open to bribes. You could perhaps get your way in court for as little as a dish of meat. Easy, see? And then we have the almost Tom and Jerry cartoon image of the judge fearing that the widow who is bombarding him with requests might attack him. And you're thinking, big powerful judge, poor widow, really? Now, remember though that widows weren't necessarily always that old in those days. If a young woman had married in her early teens, as was common, what age might she be widowed at? Especially if she often married an older man. So she might still have plenty of vigour to want to bop the judge on the chin. But all this extreme language from Jesus is there in the parable to teach us two things. And he mentions one at the beginning of the parable and one at the end. The first thing Jesus wants to put across to us is the importance of persistent prayer. Persistent prayer. So remember how that Luke introduces this story? He says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." Always pray and not give up. And of course, Jesus then tells this parable where the widow persistently lobbies the unjust judge that finally even he relents without getting his dish of meat. Even this judge who breaks both the main commandments to love God and love neighbour, because it said he neither feared God nor cared about others, he eventually comes round to granting justice. And we realise that although the unjust judge is the God figure in the parable, he is very far from the nature of God. He is not to be compared with God, but contrasted with him. But why should prayer be persistent? Wouldn't it be a matter of faith just to pray for something once and then leave it with God? Well, that might be the right thing to do sometimes, but it isn't always. Luke says Jesus wanted his disciples to pray and not give up. Persistent prayer is a way of saying to our Heavenly Father that something is so important to us that we're not going to give up on it. We know sometimes we're in for the long haul with some situations we pray for. And persistent prayer demonstrates our seriousness about that issue. If we want to see a loved one find Christ, let us keep praying and showing God that we're serious about it. If we want to see justice in an area of the world or our nation, let's continue to pray and make it clear to God that this is important to us as well as to his kingdom. And furthermore, some circumstances take a long time to dislodge. Persistent prayer, if you like, is a chipping away at the problem. I recently came across this saying, and I wish I hadn't come across it so late in the week, or I would have sent it to Alan to go up on the screen, because there's a nice little image with this. Here's the saying: a river cuts through rock, not because of power, but because of its persistence. Got that? A river cuts through rock, not because of power, but because of its persistence. Persistence cuts a way through, not because God needs breaking down, but because the situation does. There's a story in Daniel chapter 10 where Daniel prays and fasts and grieves for 3 weeks about his nation before he finally receives a revelation from a heavenly being. And that heavenly being explains that it has taken him 3 weeks to come to Daniel because he's had to deal with resistance from an enemy, the Prince of Persia. Persistent prayer, then, is part of the spiritual battle we undertake. Do you remember the story in the Old Testament where Moses raises his hands in prayer while Joshua leads the armies of Israel? And for so long as Moses is doing the Hebrew thing of lifting his hands in prayer, Joshua is winning. When Moses gets tired and the arms drop, which is a sign that he's not praying, then Joshua suffers retreat. And so people come and they help Moses hold his hands up to continue praying. And the persistent prayer leads to the result. Think of the Christians in Eastern Europe who prayed for decades before the Iron Curtain came down. Think of the Christians at a Bible college in Wales who prayed throughout the Second World War until Hitler was defeated. Now, all this may sound like hard work. Keep on praying regularly and faithfully about something. And you know, sometimes it is. To keep remembering to pray and to keep asking when we're seeing nothing can drain us. But notice that Jesus implies a bit of good news here. Pray and don't give up. Keep going, he's saying. It's worth it. By telling us not to give up praying, Jesus is giving us hope. The implication is he's telling us you're not wasting your time. Keep praying. Keep going. Is there a person or a situation where you've been praying for ages and you think, oh, well, maybe I should give up? Jesus says don't. Keep going. It's worth it in the end. You know, about 12 years ago, American media reported the story of a woman who passed out with shock at her husband's funeral. She was rushed to hospital, where her jewelry was removed for safekeeping by her son. He put it in a rubber glove and then mislaid it. The hospital said that the rubber glove would have been collected with the rubbish and sent to a landfill site. The family called the waste management company that had taken the trash from the hospital. They hadn't disposed of that particular consignment yet. They agreed to deposit it at their site separate from the other rubbish. The family and a hospital official who refused to take any pay for this began to search for the jewellery while dressed in protective plastic clothing and enduring a hot day. After 7 hours, the family were exhausted and were ready to give up. But the hospital official said, "I prayed to God and pulled one more bag because we were about exhausted, and our prayers were answered." There it was. And the official said it illustrated the principle by which he lives. Don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. Isn't that lovely? And I found this story through an American Methodist who has a healing ministry. And he commented, well, how often do we give up 5 minutes before God answers our prayers? He said, time and again I read of healing that doesn't come from the first time that prayer and laying on of hands are offered. So often it comes after much prayer and many healing sessions. How often do we pray for someone or something and then give up on God? How often do we feel that our prayers are fruitless? How often do we give up rather than persist in prayer? He said, there's a person in my life for whom I pray and get tempted to think that God has not heard my prayers. This person's situation is getting worse rather than better. But I persist. I know that God hears my prayers and is responding to them. Over the course of time, my prayers are being honed into more focused and more insightful supplications. I seek a deeper understanding of how God's mercy and grace work in those praying and in those being prayed for. And when doubt enters, I hearken back to the words of the hospital official and endeavour not to give up 5 minutes before the miracle. Isn't it great? One person who read that story offered this response. They said, this reminds me of a wood festival. I didn't know that such things existed. A wood festival that I went to this summer, the person wrote, said, I paid £5 for the privilege of climbing a 70-foot pole, lumberjack style, wearing spiked boots and using a strap. Sounds like great fun to me. Says it was surprisingly exhausting. I stopped at what I thought was about three quarters of the way up, too tired to keep going. When I looked up to see how much farther I still had to drag myself, I discovered all I needed to do to touch the top was reach up a bit with my hand. When you feel too tired to keep going, look up. You might be a lot closer to your destination than you think. No wonder Jesus says to us, pray and don't give up. And that's what I wanted to spend most of the time on this morning, because I wanted to share all that at some length to encourage you. But I do just want to spend a little bit on the second thing Jesus says. And it comes out at the end of the parable. And that's about faithful living. Because when Jesus has told the parable, he says this, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will God not bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's a bit strange, isn't it? You weren't expecting that as an ending, were you? Why does Jesus end that with reference to finding faith on the earth? Well, the ultimate focus for our persistent prayer is the end of all things and the coming of God's kingdom. Your kingdom come, as we sang. And that is when absolutely everything will be put right, when those who have suffered will receive full justice. And Jesus makes reference to that. But surely that's not coming quickly, is it? Is this a piece of evidence that the early church thought Jesus would come back within a few years? Well, I don't think so, because for a start, Luke is not the earliest of the Gospels to be written. Luke's Gospel maybe comes in the AD 70s or even 80s, you know, so 40 to 50 years after the crucifixion and resurrection. And actually, where we heard it say, "I tell you, he will see they get justice and quickly," I'm not going to bore you with the arguments here, but that word "quickly" can justifiably here be translated not quickly, but suddenly. "Tell you they will get justice and get it suddenly." Now, when you hear that language of suddenness and mix that with a reference to the Son of Man coming back, to the second coming, well, remember that often when Jesus and the apostles talk about the second coming, they talk about a suddenness of it. You know, more than once the image is used of Jesus coming like a thief in the night. The suddenness. And what is required as we prepare for that faith and faithful living. So in our prayers, with our faith, let's be bold. Let's be audacious. Erasmus said, "Fortune favours the audacious." Benjamin Disraeli said, "Success is the child of audacity." Be bold in our faith, because we're not going to give up. Let's pray big prayers. Let's not limit our prayers to, "Lord, shall I buy a Mars bar?" Let's pray bigger stuff than that. But also, it's not just about that kind of faith. It's about faithful living. Because I think there's a call here for our lives to be more consistent with our prayers. It's not to say that we're perfect and we have everything sorted in the Christian life, but it is to say that persistent prayer and an unwillingness to go the ways of God don't match up. Persistent prayer is no bedfellow with lying or malice or injustice. We're looking and praying for the kingdom to come. And so if we think it's okay to get drunk or to sleep around or to exploit people, doesn't match up. Doesn't matter how good our prayers may be, if we're taking advantage of the poor or concentrating on indulging ourselves. Jesus' concern in the light of persistent prayer about whether he will find faith or faithfulness on the earth is meant to lead us to a good and a holy desire. It's the desire to do what the late Christian philosopher Dallas Willard said was to live the eternal kind of life. You want to do that? You want to live the eternal kind of life? So let's hear again today the call of Jesus to pray for the kingdom persistently and to live for the kingdom faithfully. Amen. So we're going to come to our prayers this morning, and worship group is going to sing to us a short prayer song from Singing the Faith. I'd like you to listen to it, because after you've listened to it, you'll be tested. I'm going to do what we've sometimes done with other similar short pieces. We'll have some short prayers, and then at the end of each section, we'll repeat this one-verse prayer song. Okay? And we'll pick it up by the end. So this is called Merciful Lord. So if worship group would like to sing it to us, and then I'll go straight into the first part of prayer, and at the end of that we'll sing it, and second part, and so on. So let us pray, and let us pray for ourselves. O Lord, give us strength by your Spirit to persist in prayer. Help us to receive the encouragement of Jesus to pray and not give up. Grant us your help that we might both pray for your kingdom and live for your kingdom. Merciful Lord. We have so much to pray for in the world, with brokenness, division, suffering, from the divisions in our own country to the suffering in the Middle East, as we think of what has happened in Syria, as we remember people who are persecuted for their faith or their other convictions. Keep us faithful in prayer and in action for your justice. Merciful Lord. And we bring before you, Lord, the people, the places and the situations where we have been praying for a long time and have yet to see the answer we desire. People far from your love, people we love dearly who are suffering greatly, concerns we have in the church and in the world, we lay them before you again and ask you to give us perseverance as eventually the river cuts through by persistence. Merciful Lord. We bring before you, Lord, our prayers of thanksgiving for those who have run the journey with faithfulness, those whose prayers and faith have shaped our lives for good, but who now rest and await their reward. And with those thanksgivings, we bring our prayers for those grieving today, recent losses or longer term, for communities that have suffered several bereavements and who feel that pain of being pounded by grief, for those who thought their grief was beyond them but which has crept up behind them and caught them again. Merciful Lord. So God our Father, we bring all our prayers to you in the name of Jesus, who encourages us to continue in prayer and who prays for us at your right hand, and through the Holy Spirit, who equips us to pray and even prays through us. Praise be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In my youth, I just about remember, I used to do magic tricks. And I could do that thing that give you a pack of cards and say, you pick a card, any card, don't let me see it, put it back in the pack, and I would find the card. Can't completely remember how to do that now. But I've got some cards for you this morning. And rather than just preach about prayer, we wanted to encourage you in prayer. And, a few months ago I told the church leadership team that I'd found these cards that were helpful as prompts to prayer, of three different types of prayer that you can do. And so we've got them. These are so cheap to buy, it's ridiculous, really. So we'd like to give you some cards this morning. I've been trying to think what the practical way to do about this, because there are these three different ones. So we could distribute them now, but that might take a little while, or you can come and get them afterwards, I think. Is that all right? If you come to the door there, I'll give you three cards. It's not a three-card trick. If you want to take a few for the Broadway door, and I hope you could slip these inside a Bible or a hymn book or another book and look at each day to help you in a pattern of prayer. So I hope that will be an encouragement to you this morning. And having done that and told you about something that we will offer to you, at this point we do things the other way and we make our offering to God. So, Lord, we offer these gifts because you have given so much to us, and we give them as a sign of offering ourselves in prayer and faith each day of the week for the sake of your kingdom. Amen. So, final hymn to mark our desire to walk closely with God each day. We sing, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.